Beatitude number 5 is mercy. Say mercy. Okay? Mercy. And let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Well, we got it over here. I wish you'd bring your own Bibles to church because sometimes at the, like, membership class or like a small group, I would ask you to open your Bibles because we don't have a screen. And people go like... And then they go to beginning, to the table of contact. And that's all cool. But if I, you know, but if I give a lot of scriptures during my sermons. And if you have your Bible, guess what? You can open your own Bible and train your Bible. So it opens where you want it to open. Amen. So Matthew 5:7. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay, can we do that again? Stronger, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay, in my message today, I want to answer 4 or 5 questions. What is mercy? Okay? Should a Christian always show mercy? What if he's a judge? Or a persecutor, persecuting attorney, okay? How can we practice mercy practically in our life? Number 4, how to develop mercy, and if we get to it, number 5, why should we even have mercy? Why should we even desire to get mercy? So you ready for this? Amen. So what is mercy? Does anybody want to take a shot at it? What is mercy? Not getting what you deserve. Good. Wow. You know this stuff. Mercy is having compassion to the person's mistakes or misfortunes and doing what you can to help. Legally speaking, mercy is like what you said, not getting what you deserve. Amen. What is opposite of mercy? Can anybody come up with a word? What? Opposite of mercy? Judgment? Retaliation? Punishment? What else? Justice? All right? So these words kind of give us kind of the opposite. What is opposite of mercy? Well, to better understand mercy, let's look at the Word of God more in depth. Okay, and see what it says about mercy and what's the opposite of it. To do that, let's open to Matthew 9, verse 10. Matthew 9, verse 10. We got it on the screen already? Those guys are faster than I am. So, all right, let's read this. Later, Matthew, the guy who writes this book, invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, alone with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Next verse. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" You have to be really religious to call people scum. But that's what they're doing. So in this scripture, Jesus makes a distinction. Mercy, the opposite of mercy in this scripture is sacrifice. Wow. For I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So in this note, in this scripture, mercy is opposite of sacrifice. These Pharisees were good religious people. Did you know that before they ate, they had to wash their hands. They had to do all ceremonial cleansing, they called it. And they would never sit down and eat with a sinner. And here comes Jesus. Now, everybody's a sinner. But when Bible says sinner, sinner, then we're talking about sinner, sinner. Okay? You know what I mean? Prostitutes would get together. Tax collectors would get together. They were like the mafia people. Tax collector were like the mob. And you know when there's mobs, there's girls. and these loose girls walking around, you know, dressed inappropriately. And Matthew was one of the tax collector. He was like the Al Capone type, all right? He was, except he worked for the Roman government, you know, and they would collect more than the Roman government required. So the rest of it, they would keep for themselves. So they were extortioners. They would take more money than, and the Jewish leaders, rightly so, didn't like these guys. These guys were betrayers of Jewish nations. They worked for their enemy, the Roman Empire. They were not liked, and they knew it, and they didn't even hide it. But here Jesus comes in contact with Matthew. He touches his life, and Matthew starts following Jesus. And before you know it, Matthew invites his friends, the mafia family, all the bookies, the muscle, the girls. He invites all of them to his house and invites Jesus. And Pharisees thought, no, Jesus, no, you're not going to go there. And Jesus says, sure, I'll go. Yeah, let's do this. Besides, parties of sinners are usually more funner than religious people. When religious people come together, they debate and they watch each other, make sure who says the wrong word. I mean, but when sinners get together, man, boy, that's fun. They drink, they get loose, they dance, whatever, right? Now, I'm not promoting that, just observing, just observation, people, all right? And so Jesus gets accused, but notice Jesus doesn't go there just for the fun of it, just to get a high out of it. He goes there for a reason, because they're sick. Now, and they're not poor people. He's not going to some poor, wretched people. No, he's going to the mob. They got money. They got steak. They got wine. They got beer. They got everything you need. They got luxury. They got sweets. So it's not, get the story in your head, that Jesus is going to a big house. And when he gets there, his goal is, learn from me, for I have come not to call those who think they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners. So these guys knew who they were. And Jesus comes and eats with them, and he gets accused. What are you doing eating with them? We don't even sit with them. They better change first, then they can maybe eat with us. Jesus says, no. You don't wait till they change, because some people can't change. Most people, let me make a correction, can't change on their own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the gospel to change us. And so Jesus says, if I were to wait for them to come to me, none of them would be saved. You wouldn't be saved. Do you remember what the Bible says? You didn't find me, I found you. You didn't seek for me, I seeked you. I went after you. So the heart of Jesus is to go and seek. Do we have the same heart? He was so merciful that his heart was to reach the lost, to go to them and bring him something that would change them. And Pharisee or religious heart is, why don't you change first? Find your own gospel. Find your own way, and then come be a part of us. And Jesus said, no, I don't desire sacrifices. I desire mercy. What does mercy has to do with sacrifice? Because we sacrifice. They sacrificed. Listen to me, in the Old Testament, to do why would they sacrifice? To obtain mercy, right? Good. What else? To pay for their sin. So they had sin, but the way they did it was to bring a sacrifice and paid for that sin. But God says, I hate your sacrifices. Mercy is better than sacrifice. Why don't you show mercy? When we mess up, guys, listen to me. When we mess up, be in front of the law, what do we usually hope to get? Mercy. But when another person messes up in front of the law, what do we hope they get? Judgment, justice, right? payback time. They deserve it. And see, Jesus doesn't think that way. See, his thinking is so foreign to us today. Because even my kids, when, listen to me, when my kids, often they run and say, do you know what Alex did? And it's like, and then he comes and says, do you know what Abby did? And they start arguing what they did. I'm like, why don't you guys just kind of cover each other, you know, or something? Because you're both going to get it. And sometimes as a father, when our kids come and do that to us, what do? We're like, parents, do we love punishing our kids? Do we love disciplining our kids? Not really. I don't really like it. I don't like taking a spoon, and I haven't done it for a long time. Our kids are growing up. And so, but I don't like taking a spoon and giving it to them. Right? But, so same with God. Listen, God is the same thing. He's full of mercy. He doesn't want to punish anybody. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. We're his children. And sometimes we so desperately want to punish one another for a little sin that's not even committed against us. Sometimes a brother sins against another brother and we're like, we need to do something about it. We need to punish it. Yeah, listen, it's not even sin. He didn't even sin against you. Don't act all righteous and religious. So mercy. I wrote this. These Pharisees were good at practicing their religion and bringing sacrifices. But that religion didn't produce a soft heart in them. Does your religion change your heart? Or does it make it harder towards people? You defend more what you stand for than people and show them that you love. And listen, I've been guilty of that too. A lot. A lot. The point that God wants his people to get is that God wants us to be alive in our hearts and not mechanical, robotic Christians. This is what you do. You pray, you do this and this and this, but that's it. God is not looking for robotic, mechanical Christians. He's looking for soft-hearted, those who weep with those who weep type of Christians. Hallelujah. He wants us to have feelings. And he wants us to have affection towards him and mercy towards other people. When your religion becomes mechanical, you stop caring for people. John Piper says this, the opposite of mercy is bondage to religion, religious trivia. You just do the motions of religion, but it's not changing your heart. And guess what? God is not interested in your sacrifice, your religious motions. He's interested in the changed heart. Have you allowed him to change your heart? Hallelujah. What does mercy look like? Second question. Luke 10:30. Let's put that up there. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by a chance, a certain priest came down that road. That's a pastor, priest. Pastor was walking down the road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He did a little detour. Because remember, he was going to the temple. Now he couldn't touch the man, otherwise he was going to become unclean. Okay? Now, a worship pastor is walking by too. Cammie did a great job today. Awesome job. But, and our other guys, turkey skipped today. Having fun somewhere in Rapid City. Didn't even invite me, so I'll pay them back somehow. Just get a new worship pastor. No. Cammie was doing such a great job. Anyway, just likewise, the worship pastor, Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked. So he looked, oh, you beat up, huh? And he passed by on the other side again. He walked away just to not get unclean. But a Samaritan, an enemy to the Jews, He was half-breed. Remember, Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. There was war between them. And here comes this Samaritan, probably didn't know God. And as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Notice that word, compassion. I believe the other guys had compassion too, but there was no further action. You know what mercy is? Compassion plus action. That's what mercy is. You have compassion, then you put action behind that. Okay? So he went to him and bandaged him, his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to a hotel, an inn, and took care of him on the next day. So this man was on a business trip. It's not like he didn't have anything to do, the Samaritan. But he put his business away. He put his activity away, and he cared for the person, knowing that the person counted him as a half-breed, counted him as lower than a sinner, counted him as nothing, wouldn't even shake his hand, wouldn't even go through his city. That's how racially segregated, that's how, what is it called? Divided these people were, Jews and Samaritans. Knowing the guy who's laying there is not in my political party. Knowing that guy who's laying there is an enemy to my national people. Knowing that racially they're different. He doesn't care about none of that. Mercy has a gentle, soft heart. Doesn't care about race, doesn't care about nationalism, doesn't care about all your isms, doesn't care about your religion, doesn't care about anything. When it sees a need, its heart has a compassion, and he puts his business aside. He was late somewhere a day at least, because it took him a long time to care for this man. Had to bind his wounds, put oil and wine. Wine was used to be as disinfectant. This guy was really beat up, naked. Put him on his donkey, takes him to the inn. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So he was a regular in that inn. He was probably a merchant, a business owner. He was going from town to town, and he stayed at that inn a lot. They knew him. He put his business aside to care of a person. Religious people, that's our problem. Sometimes we miss this. Christian, this is our problem. Sometimes the Samaritans are better at having mercy than we, the Jews, new Jews, you know, according to Jesus Christ. And that's something we have to improve on. Amen. And so, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who has shown mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. This is a great picture of mercy. It's not just compassion, oh, I feel bad for you. It's more. It's, I'm going to do something about it. I want to give you a few points that I observe here. Mercy sees suffering. Do you see ever people going through something? Mercy sees. Am I saying it right? Mercy can see suffering. Some people we just don't see. We're so into our own stuff and my own little life and own little problems that we don't see other people's stuff. Mercy sees stuff. Is able to see. I pray God opens our eyes so we would be able to see. Hallelujah. Gives us a heart. Open the eyes of our heart so we can see. There's a lot of people suffering out there. There's a lot of people in pain. Mercy is able to see. Notice he didn't ask, why is there no more police in this neighborhood, in this road? He didn't ask that. Somebody should take their head for this, for allowing this to happen. He didn't start philosophizing everything. He didn't do that. Guess what he did? He saw a problem and he met the need of it. Sometimes we say, and we feel good about him, somebody should do something about that. Oh, I think the politician, I think the rich people, I think the church, I think the police should do something about it. Listen, God says, if you see it, do something about it. Meet the need. If somebody needs gas money, don't say, oh, why are they in this situation in the first place? Don't start finding all kinds of answers. Just help a person. As a Christian, I think you should always be carrying at least $5 in your pocket. So when you meet somebody who needs help, you can help. Some of you don't even carry cash because you know it disappears. So you just carry a card. I can't help you. I got a card. You know, I can't do that. But a Christian should always have a few bucks in the pocket because we want to look for opportunities for God to use us. I've been convicted so many times that I don't have money. It's usually in my bank account or in my wallet. But in a lot of times when I come to church at night, there's people here waiting. And they're like, can I have some money? Oh, I don't have any. You know? And God says, give something. Give something. Give $5. It's not going to, you know, maybe for you it's a dollar. You know, maybe for somebody else it's a $10 or $20. Give something. Produce. Let God produce in you a heart. And it's not always money. Okay? Sometimes and let me go to the next point. Mercy responds internally with compassion. Mercy responds internally with compassion. And it doesn't just say, oh, you poor thing. I wish somebody could help you. I just don't have any time. I got a business meeting, you know. Or there's two. We could be busy with two religious activities. Why we don't respond. Because remember, the pastor and the worship pastor, they were busy with something. They were going to temple to do church activity. They were busy, right? And many times we're busy with religious activity. I call that religious activity and secular activity. Why we don't show mercy to people. Because sometimes you can blame a religious person for everything. But religious activity is understandable. I got to make it to church at 7 so we can have prayer meeting. We got a Bible study, you know. And I got to be there. By the way, we do have a Bible study tomorrow at 7. So be here. But it's the last one. Last one till September or something. So be there. It's been an awesome time. But there's also secular activity. Sometimes we are so involved in our video games. I got to go play video games. Or I got my scandal is on. You know, scandal is on. Or revenge is on. I can't help anybody because my favorite show, I don't see anybody. Football game is on. I can't help you. So just like a religious guy, so is a secular guy walks by and looks, I'm just too busy. I can't help you. So don't blame just the religious guy. Blame both. So mercy responds with a compassionate heart. But it doesn't stop there. Mercy responds externally as well. It responds with help, with relief. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? I got to confess this. I'm a sinner. So I'm going to confess something, okay? Don't tell anybody. Just keep it in here. People make a lot of excuses to a pastor, right? You don't even ask them, but they do. They just come to you. They see you next time. Oh, sorry, pastor. You know, I was so busy. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, whatever the excuse is. Just don't do it. Don't even have to make excuses. I feel awkward. What do I say? But a guy came to me and said, listen, I didn't make it to Bible study. I'm sorry, man. But I went for a walk. And something crazy happened. This guy is here. So he said, something crazy happened. We were walking. And in the middle of the road of a traffic, a child runs out into the middle of the road. And we look for their mother. And cars are driving. And there's no mother. So we go and save the child and, you know, bring it. They couldn't find the mother for a while. Then they found the mother. And religious part of me said, what? What do you think it said in me? The religious part. You should have went to Bible study. Better than just save that child. What? And then I thought about it. I'm like, why am I not happy for a child being saved for a Bible study? I know both are important. Don't get me wrong. Don't go trying to be a Superman or something in a time of Bible study. But my heart wasn't right. And sometimes we have to look back into this word so it could correct our heart. So correct the flow. So correct the direction of our heart. Sometimes it becomes so hard. God wants to give us a new heart. Beatitudes don't make you a Christian. We're saved by grace alone. Beatitudes are like mirror to show us how far alone are we. And right now you're listening, you're thinking, how far alone am I? Now don't judge yourself, don't condemn yourself. God loves you. He gave up His Son for you. But just know that I have some room to grow. I have some room to grow. Maybe discipline myself a little bit. Spend more time in the Word so my heart would begin to change. Don't try to force change your heart. Go to the Word and allow Him to wash you, to produce new desires. Bible says, the renewing your mind. The Word of God has a way to renew us and give us a soft heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mercy responds externally, and then mercy overlooks religious, racial, nationalistic, political differences and looks for ways to help. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. I don't care who you are. Mercy looks beyond that. You're a human being. You are a child of a king. You're somebody else's son or daughter, and that means something. Father loves His children. You love your children? Those of you who have children? Do your parents love you? That's how God loves them as well. So what are you talking about? When He has mercy and we don't. And so Jesus says, who was a better friend to the man who was beaten up? The Samaritan. Because he showed mercy. Amen. Whew, how are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing good. Hallelujah. Should a person always be merciful? Question number two. We might get through only three today. Should a person always be merciful? Or can a Christian be a judge or an attorney who persecutes people? The answer is God's word teaching us mingling of justice and mercy. Now, Bible does not have an answer for every single question that you might have. Should I show mercy here or not? Should I show mercy here or not? God is not after rules. He's about to produce a heart. Only you and God should know, should I show mercy or not? Amen? God's will, listen to this, is that sometimes we recompense people with what they deserve. Whether punishment or reward, it's called justice, right? And God's will, other times, is to recompense people with better than what they deserve. And that's called mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment, sacrifice as well. It's opposite in Jesus' teaching. Great job, honey. Hallelujah. So God is a just God as much as He is what? A merciful God. And He mingles those so good. And He wants us to have a heart, not this is what you do, this is what you don't do. It's a heart thing. Amen. When we uphold justice, we declare the justice of God. When we show mercy, we declare the mercy of God. Amen. So how does it look like in daily life? Okay. Well, biblical parenting. How does it look in our parenting? Usually, wisdom says, Proverbs, spare a rod and spoil a child. Sometimes you have to discipline your children. You don't want to, but you have to. You have to discipline, either put them in a corner or take away their privileges or, you know, don't give them their favorite cake or ice cream that day. Whatever way, but you have to discipline them. But many times you show them mercy. You don't always punish them for every little thing. You don't discipline them for every little thing. You show them mercy so they, and then you point them to Christ's mercy. Amen? So that's how it works in a family. A Christian judge usually will carefully and impartially sentence a criminal. But sometimes he will also pardon somebody and forgive them. I used to go to juvenile court a lot. Parents would go to different churches even. Not a lot for people in our church, but usually parents would be embarrassed to go to their own pastor of a big church. So they would come to me and say, hey, you're good with youth. Not anymore lately, but you're good. Can you go and talk to my son? Can you go and be there at this court hearing or whatever? And I would go to those court hearings. And what I thought was, before I would go, that judges were really strict. But what I realized, that judges give people so many chances. They're like, you come here again, I'm going to give you this, this, and this. And here, 2 months later, I go there again. And I wrote letters to judges, you know, saying, hey, show mercy, you know, stuff like that. And judge would have mercy. And I would be like, man, this judge gives you so many chances. He's not interested in just throwing you in the system and locking the key. They really do give us a lot of, you know, and there's some bad judges, but the ones I've dealt with was pretty good. I'm like, I wish when I get a ticket, I'd get so many chances. Usually I have to pay. So judges will most likely punish, according to the law, a criminal. But there will be time when they will dispense clemency and show mercy. How do you balance that? When do you do it? When you don't do it? Judges know when. You'll know when if you keep a heart right. Amen? Number three, what about Christian employers? You know, we Christian employers hire people to work. But what if people keep messing up and messing up? Well, how can you show mercy there? Well, instead of firing them on the spot, say, hey, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to be more patient with you. I'm going to try to maybe sit down with you and talk with you and find out why are you late all the time or why you have such a bad attitude with customers. Right? And maybe give them a two-week notice. Instead of just firing, saying, hey, I'm going to give you 2 weeks. This job is not working out. Find another job for yourself. Show mercy. Whatever way it is, show mercy. What about Christian elders? Sometimes in church, we discover a sin. Not like sin, like everybody has a sin, but there's a habitual sin. And it becomes public. A person with private sins, we try to deal privately. But what if it's a public? Church knows. In the Corinthian church, a son was sleeping with his mother. And they didn't do anything. It was public. Everybody knew about it. Paul says, you should judge that kind and put him away from the body of believers. Right? So there's that. Now, on another side of that coin, Jesus says, remember a parable of tares? And tares, right? Tares. Jesus says, don't pull out tares too fast. Otherwise, when you pull out the bad weed, you could put the good seed, pull the good seed out of it with it. So there's balance. How do you know when to do what? It's a hard thing. It's not black and white. It's a heart thing that Christ is trying to produce in us. He's trying to give you a new heart. Hallelujah. Question number three. How can we practically show mercy in our daily lives? Number one, show mercy in material needs. I'm going to go quickly through this. 1 John 3:17 says this. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need and shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? So if you see somebody in need, brother and sister, I know I want to make a quick announcement here that one of the young men said that the Lord told him to give the church $1,500 so we can buy a car for somebody. God is working on that man. We're still looking. We're still looking. Who are we going to give this car to? Because the money is there. I'm just telling you. So if you need a car, please let us know. And if there's more people, we'll choose one or something. I don't know. But I know people need cars. Some of them can't even drive to church. And so, but that's seeing a need. God has somebody who needs a vehicle really bad. And God wants to meet that need. Okay? Maybe it's somebody dresses really poorly and you need, they can't afford any clothes or their shoes are with holes. And you see that need. And you are able to go buy a pair of sneakers for $50. Do that. Have that heart. Maybe somebody needs help moving. And instead of saying, I'm going to miss my favorite show. What's that? Grey's Anatomy? I'm going to miss that. I can't believe that. Well, you can go and watch it later on Hulu or something. Okay? I know that. You can go watch it later, but go help somebody move. Be merciful. Have a tender heart. Now, if you have a bad back, maybe, you know, you can't move big things, but maybe you can take a lamp or something and move, or a chandelier, or I don't know, a pillow. Amen? So, if you see material needs and you don't meet them, but you blame somebody, or, well, they got themselves in this position themselves, you know? Or we should get some more money to help. We should do something. We never do it. Do something. Do something. Number two, show mercy. And this is a weird one. Listen to this one. Show mercy when a person struggles spiritually. Jude, verse 22. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Ha! Have you heard that one in the Bible yet? Listen, throughout our life, we as Christians sometimes have our faith waver. Have you ever had a doubting season in your life? I did. But there are some people who have chronic doubting season. They kind of believe in God, but then they don't believe the Bible. They kind of believe in Jesus for forgiveness of their sins, but then they have some weird philosophy. And then you question it, and then you like, do you even believe this thing? Okay? The Bible says to be merciful with those who waver in their faith. Now, that doesn't mean that you agree with them. That doesn't mean that whatever. But it means that you're patient with them. You're loving with them. We have people in our church who kind of, you wonder, where are you with God? But guess what? As a pastor, my job is to show mercy and love to everyone the same. It is the mercy of God that leads us to Him. It is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance in the first place. So if you think you're mean, they're going to come closer to God. No. You have to show love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. I know I've had moments of wavering faith, and those are scary. You start doubting everything. And the deeper you go, the more doubt you get. And then you're scared. You're like, I don't want to go there anymore, God. I trust you. And it's a weird existence when you start doubting.
because faith is it's easier for me anyway. But for some people are just wired. They doubt. They question everything. They're just wired that way. And Bible says, be merciful, be kind to those people. Don't just dismiss them. Don't just throw them out with baby with the bathwater type thing. Be patient, love. It's in the Bible, people. All right? Hallelujah. So show mercy when a person struggles spiritually. This is kind of a weird one. Show mercy when a person embarrasses themselves. Okay? Now, there's an opportunity. When a person embarrasses themselves, you can go, ha ha, you know? When a person talks big and proud, you know, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And then they like, but you want to give them advice. They don't care about your advice. And then they fall flat to the ground. The Lord humbles them. Humbles us, I should say, because it happens to all of us. And you want to go, ah, go talk to your friends about him. Go say, did you hear about that fool, that joker? You know what he was talking about? Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. You know what happened? Crash. Bible says, be merciful, because that could have been you. Be merciful when somebody falls into sin. Maybe somebody cheated on their spouse. Be merciful how you judge them. Be merciful how you talk about them and how you maybe spread gossip. You know what could have happened to all of you? If you worked with him for 8 hours a day, how do you know how you would respond? Now, this is not a permission. If you worked with a cute person, to say, well, you know, I work 8 hours, so the pastor said it's okay. No! But it could have been you. It could have been me. That's why we got to protect ourselves from these things. Listen to your wife, man. Hallelujah. Listen to your husband. But we got to be careful. Listen, 1 Peter 4:8 says this. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers, say it, multitude, say it, multitude of sins. Multitude, many, and we have many, and love covers. What's his name that got drunk in the Bible? Noah got drunk in the Bible. Righteous man got drunk, got naked, and one of his son came and laughed at him, and it was embarrassing, and he laughed at him. The other sons took a blanket, walked backwards, and covered their father. Cover people's mistakes. Protect people. Cover. Love covers. When you love somebody, your child, you know, does something in school, and you're like, but they're a good kid, you know, and you start covering, and you start covering them. Love covers. Sometimes too much, but that's love for you. Hallelujah. Show mercy, and I'm not going to get through this, but this mercy is a subject I could have preached for 6 weeks. There's so much. We didn't even get to how God merciful is, but only got 1 week, okay? So, key. Whew. Psalm 103:14. For God knows how weak we are. He remembers we're only dust. When we got married, I'm not proud of this, but I found myself picking on my wife. Picking. Had a horrible 3-4 years of marriage. And my wife would just be covering everything, you know. She covers, I pick. And it wasn't a happy marriage. You know what mercy does? Mercy has compassion and realizes that we all have mistakes. That we all have issues. I'm going to finish with this example. A few months ago, we had I was in the lobby, and a homeless married couple came in to church. And they were dirty. They, gotta admit, I judged them a little bit. because they were just dirty, smelly, and they dressed really bad. And they'd just been married for 3 months, and they were living in the street. And they came in, and they started, "We need help. We need marriage counseling." I'm like, "Well, schedule an appointment," you know, trying to push them off to the side. But they were like, "No, we need counseling." So I'm like, what's the problem? I didn't even take him to my office. Just, what's the problem? Well, he's like, "She's this and that, and before we got married, she did this and that, and this and that." And hear this to me, and I judged him. I repent, okay? I judged him. He looked dirty. He looked like he had problems. He looked like he had abuse issues. He had addiction issues. And she wasn't better. But he was acting in front of me like he was perfect. And picking on her sins. And some of them before they got married. And to me, I got disgusted. And I'm like, "How dare you? Look, have you seen yourself in the mirror? You're messed up. Just by looking at you, I can tell you're so messed up." And she said to me, "Well, I just don't pick on all his problems." And so my quick solution was, you stop picking, you start standing up for yourself. Okay, they never come back. I've never seen them again. So I don't know what happened. Hopefully their marriage was saved. But I only had a few minutes with them. When I left, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "When you start picking on others, being full of imperfections and sins and weaknesses and problems and all those things, how do you think I look at you? Imperfect person picking at another imperfect person thinking that they are perfect." That's how we look in front of God when we do this, when we pick on people, when we don't show mercy. Jesus gave a parable. One man was forgiven by a king 50 talents of gold or silver, whatever it was. And he begged a king, "Please release me. Please have mercy on me." And king says, "I'm going to forgive it all." Like $50 million worth of debt. This man comes out outside and sees a man who owns him $50. $50 million, $50. And he starts choking him, beating him, and throws him in prison. And a king said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this man who owns me $50 million. I'm going to throw him in prison until he pays me everything. In his family, until he pays me everything." That's what happens to the person who doesn't show mercy. Blessed are, let's put that scripture back on the screen. Matthew 5:7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." The world calls it karma. We call it the law of sowing and reaping. You sow mercy, you will receive mercy. What are you sowing in your life? Are you a merciful person? And listen, religious people, especially those who've been saved for a long time, sometimes we can be so unmerciful. God is calling us today to practice mercy.